Today we get this passage from John, which is arguably the most famous passage in Scripture. We hear about God so loving the world that he has given his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. But it's in this context of Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, that talked a little bit about baptism prior to this, and he's speaking to Nicodemus, and he says this mysterious passage, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." And Jesus is referencing this moment in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, where the people of Israel are wandering in the desert and they've grown tired. And it says that they begin to loathe the food from heaven that God had given them. They complain, "There's no food here. Why have you brought us out to die?" And they begin to loathe the manna. And so they complain, and God sends these seraph serpents, these burning serpents in the desert there, and they begin to bite and sting the people, and they begin to die. And so they realize that they've sinned. They come to Moses. They ask Moses for his intercession. And so God tells Moses to make this bronze fiery serpent, and he'll lift it up, and those who have been bitten, when they look upon it, they might be spared. They might have their life back. They won't suffer that death at that moment because of the sting of the serpent. It's a couple things here. It brings us even back further, right? When's the last time we saw people reject a food given from them by God and then be tempted by a serpent, right? It's Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They reject the food of life. They eat from the food of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because of the temptation of a serpent, right? So Israel is experiencing the fall in its own way here in the desert. And the word here for serpent, fiery serpent, poisonous serpent, in the Hebrew, it's actually seraphim serpents, right? Seraphim are types of angels. So when we start to read this, when a Jew starts to read this, they see also the symbolism of the fallen angels here. They see the temptation of the fallen angels tempting us away from God. And this should be on our mind as well. We see that in Adam and Eve, the serpent has always represented Satan. We see that now in this story as well. But God provides an antidote. In the moment with Moses and the Israelites, he takes the very means of their death and he lifts it up, and they look upon that. If they look upon that, those who've been bitten, they'll be spared. Their life will be given back to them. It's the same now for us with the Lord. The very means of death he takes, he uses that to enter into death, to destroy that from within, so that we who look upon him might have eternal life, right? This is what Jesus is alluding to when he alludes to this passage. And for us to remember and to realize, we fight not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, that those seraph serpents are stinging and biting, trying to pull us off the path, to get us to loathe the bread from heaven, or what's even worse, to have indifference towards the bread of heaven, the Holy Eucharist, to pull us off the path, to get us into this penalty of eternal death. But God so loves the world that he sends his Son into the world to go to the depths, to the jaws of death, to enter within and to defeat sin and death from within. And so we go back to the cross and to the Eucharist as it's elevated in this moment, which we're entering to that passion and entering that moment of his passion and death. We look upon the true tree of life and the true tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because there's goodness himself on the cross. And we see what our sin, what our evil does to goodness himself. And so for us, it's an examination of our own lives. This is the light to shine on our souls, to look there, to ponder the Lord day in and day out, to look at the cross, to look at him in the Eucharist, and to ask for that light to enter into our hearts, to expose anything in our soul that is not of Him, any things we're doing, any habits we're doing that are of darkness, that are works of evil, that are works of sin, and that His light might expose that, and there, gazing upon Him, we receive that gift of salvation, that gift of life that He wishes to give us, that saving power for which He has entered into the world. So there's two things for us to continue to come back to day in and day out, to have that cross front and center in our mind, because there it is. It's the serpent raised up. It's the fulfillment of that. There it is, Jesus, who becomes, takes sin itself on Himself and allows us to look upon Him to see what our sin does, but allows us then to trust in Him, to trust in the life and the love and the mercy He wishes to give us, but also in the Eucharist, to gaze upon Him raised up in the monstrance in that chapel, to gaze upon Him raised up here at the Mass. There He is, the One who is the light of the world and who is raised up for us to receive eternal life. So we turn back to the Lord today as we've crossed over the halfway point in Lent. We're approaching these great days of the Holy Passover, of the Holy Triduum. We ask the Lord for that light to enter our hearts so that during these final weeks of Lent, He might root out anything in us that is not of God, so we might radiate His life and His light as we come back to that school of love, which is the cross and which is Christ in the Eucharist. Lord, fill us with that light today and always, and give us hope for eternal life.